Gentleman who is front and center watching all the participants, the general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos, Ed Hervey, joins us once again. Ed, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jason?
Good. Now, I know that you're a huge Laker fan and obviously a huge USC fan, and USC really never does a lot in the in the March Madness. So do you have another school you cheer for? Because I know you're a big basketball guy.
When it comes to the March Madness, you can never be an expert, right? So who I cheer for, I cheer for the Pac-12 when they're in it. I think Kentucky is one of the strong teams. I got Michigan State in the Final Four. But in the end, in college basketball, more often than not, if you have the best player, you stand a good chance of winning. When you have the best players, you're almost a lock to win. So, Kentucky should roll through everyone, although in my bracket, I selected Arizona for the big upset.
Ooh, all right. Oh, I have Michigan State in my Final Four, too, so nice. Today, Dexter Janke, linebacker Austin Johnson, DB Kalen Branning, and offensive lineman Quinn Lawler were promoted to go to the main combine, Ed. So I guess talk about, who decides that, first of all? Is it the GMs collectively? Is it the league? Who decides which guys get promoted from today's regional combine?
No, it's a collection of all the teams that are here involved, and the CFL does a good job of going from team to team and asking for their votes, so to speak, who's playing well. And at the end of the day, they do a tally. It's almost like a straw poll, so to speak.
Okay.
And the players that get the most votes generally are the guys that get the consideration. And if more guys get more votes than others, or it's kind of spread out. You can never go wrong with the best players. And in this case, it was four worthy participants, and we're looking forward to seeing how they stack up at the national combine.
Ed, how does it break down? Is it, I notice you guys have a physical part, it's physical testing as well as the positional drills. Is there a percentage, one or the other, that maybe weighed heavier?
No, I think all of it. Again, this is the first time you get a chance to see each participant without pads or not on film. You actually get a physical opportunity to stand next to them. You get to watch them lift weights. They do the one-on-one drills. You get to see them jump. It's like anything. You get those opportunities to see them do things that you wouldn't normally see when you watch them on film. Although today, in days like today, some say it could make or break them. Not necessarily. It just gets to show you how they stack up athletically against one another. But primarily, they're a good football player is a good football player. And when he puts on the pads, he generally has the ability to go out there and still play. We just have the chance to see how fast a player actually is, or how high a player can actually jump, or whether they can adapt to the things that they're being taught in a setting like this.
You obviously need that. To be a CFL player. Then, of course, there's the intangibles. Do they have the decision-making process? Can they read a defense if they're a receiver, or vice versa as a defender, to anticipate and all that? And this combine today doesn't necessarily show you that. It's just more about pure athleticism?
Yeah, well, and I'm going to be just quite blunt with this. When you watch the guys run, you make the determination whether those guys can run at this level, at the professional level.
Okay.
You could be a great ball player and have all the things. But when we watch them today and at the National Combine, you have to be able to run on the field with professional athletes at this level. And that weighs to their advantage that they're capable of doing that. Now, again, not everyone's going to run 4.2, 4.3, or 4.4, but you got to show some type of ability to be able to keep up, because – everybody at this level is running pretty well, and if you get a guy who's a good football player but he runs a 4.9 or 5 flat, he's going to be a deer in headlights out there, and he's not going to be able to handle it on the field, just be quite honest.
And when you're watching these guys, and they're different positions, I understand that, but are you just looking for athletes who maybe could mold into a different position or a need on your team?
Yeah, we look at everything. That's a good question. Athleticism is extremely important in our scouting process here. But again, when a guy, based on what position he's playing, we'll see if he's a fit for us at that position. But we're always looking for versatility in the players that we scout and that we look at. And some guys could look at a player for the position that he signed up for. Meanwhile, we're thinking, can he play multiple positions and where would he best fit based on the body type. And then, again, we go back to where what he looks like when he runs, when he jumps, and in the one-on-one drills. And occasionally we'll ask them to play that position. Even though it's foreign to them, we have an opportunity to get some video footage seeing him play that position, and then we can make a determination as we move forward.
Ed Hervey joins us, general manager of the Edmonton Eskimos. Ed, we're getting closer, of course. The combine's coming up. Then you got the NFL draft and the CFL draft. How many more offensive linemen do you plan on signing between now and the start of training camp?
Huh. That's a good question, too. I mean, offensive linemen are the lifeline of any good CFL team, and that is a position that, going into every offseason, going into every draft, is a priority for the Edmonton Eskimos. Whether there's a player that fits, a player that we believe we can bring in, draft, or free agency to come in and contribute right away, that is determined throughout the next couple weeks and as we head into the draft. But you know, I've made no secret about it. Priority number one in Edmonton always is making sure that the offensive line and protecting quarterback is priority, and it will build from the outside, you know, build from inside out from that point. How many we plan to sign, I mean, we'll never turn down a good player.
Ed, you know, you made some changes last year, the coaching staff, and now between you and Chris Jones, are you feeling like you're getting closer to the type of team and the way that you want them to play now on the Eskimos for the field?
Yeah, you know, it's a steady growth as, you know, myself and Coach Jones, you know, we get to know each other more. We've got great strides. We're, you know, from the jump, you know, we both believe in the same things, fast, physical, and play hard and come and, you know, and be physical. As far as, you know, on the field and get how close we are, I think we're taking those steps in the direction that we want to head. We believe in what we're doing here. I think our players buy into what we're doing. I think they've shown that with the effort that they've portrayed on the field, on and off the field. And I think that, you know, when we step on the field, our players believe they can win any game that they're in. We still have some hurdles to overcome, but all in all, I feel quite confident in the direction we're headed. I feel very confident in the coaching. It's good that we're going to have the same offense, defense, and special teams for the second year in a row, so there's continuity there. We should be excited about that. But again, everyone around us, all the other teams have improved, so we can't rest on what we've done last year. We you know, we're forward thinkers here, and we're, you know, we always think about what's ahead of us, not behind us. So although we are, you know, we feel good about the momentum, we have to continue to focus on what's ahead of us.
Ed Hervey, GM of the Esks, join us. The draft's coming up, Ed, and I've talked to a lot of different people around the league, and it seems, you know, offensive line and receivers, you know, most people think those guys are going to go in the first round, excluding maybe the defensive lineman, Watt, out of Western. Is he realistically, is he the best defensive prospect in the draft?
Well, I mean, everyone's draft board is different. He's definitely a good ball player and a player that will impact someone's roster. But when you're looking at your own roster, at least in our building, we take a look at our Canadian players, and we take all the Americans off the depth chart, and we look at where we need help. We look at our numbers, depth numbers. We look at the age of the players. We look at injury history. We look at all these different things. And then if there are players in the draft, and then we rank them 1 through 10, 15, or 20, we'll follow that process, and we'll fill the holes as needed. But as far as whether we are interested in a player or not, I mean, we're interested in all of them, but in the end, it comes down to the priority position when our opportunity to draft, and we will select accordingly.
Right now, depending on who you talk to, you know, the six top offensive linemen seem to be Mateus, Chung, Rudy, Gruel, McEwen, or Lavoie, in any order, depends on anybody's draft board. If you came down to it and you're picking seventh and there's two offensive linemen on the board and you think they're both even, does a guard over a tackle, does that change it at all? If everything's equal, Ed, is there one position that's more important, guard or tackle?
Well, again, guard or tackle, the guy who's a tackle can play a guard, and a guard who's, if there's a guard there and he can't play tackle, that doesn't make him less than the guy who's projected as a tackle. It would be, again, based on our need. Region might play into it. You look at the guy's health history. Oh, that's where all these other factors come in. When we look at the drills, what they look like on film, athleticism, it's very difficult to say that all things are equal, because in this business, they're not, especially when it comes down to a guy's 40, his ability to jump, and all those, the interview process. There are certain things about a player that may sway you another direction, including what part of the country he lives in or is from. Because when it comes to your offensive lineman, if all things are equal, you'd prefer to have someone that's, you know, regional, that's close, that doesn't want to go back home. And I've learned in this business that the majority of the guys who live out east tend to want to go home after a while, and vice versa. And for us to build continuity on our offensive line, you know, we'd love to be able to get the best player available and have him for 10, 15 years. But we know that that isn't the case sometimes. Sometimes you have to look at, you know, where a guy's from.
Ed, since you've been around the CFL, how have you seen the Canadian player change?
Well, I've seen the preparation for the evaluation camp. The players are coming in better shape. They're obviously the teams are doing a better job of selecting the right players to participate at the national and regional combines. And the players are taking great pride in their preparation, being ready for it, meaning that they haven't seen the L drill for the first time. This isn't their first time running 40s. They've run it and they prepared for it. The bench press numbers have gone up significantly over the last 7-8 years since I've been doing it. So you got to give credit to the player. I think that would be the biggest change that you see, is that the athletes are coming in prepared and ready to go, and giving all of us who are scouting them the best that they have as far as being prepared for this process.
Ed Hervey joins us. Ed, Chris Jones, I know, is in town. He's scouting all over the place. I'm assuming you had some time off, but right now, with, you know, where do you go out to scout for guys now? Is it more looking for free agent camps? Are you finalizing your list on which invitees you want to come to some of those camps? Because that's obviously where you found Dexter McCoy last summer.
Yeah, I mean, we'll continue to have more of the open workout camps, and then later in the spring, everyone eventually will come together. We'll have an opportunity to see everyone work. I mean, we'll have a mini camp at some point here coming up. We'll announce at some point, and we'll spend 3 days, 4 days, and watch the guys, and we'll make our determination as to who the best players are at the mini camp, and those at that time. We'll make our announcement who's coming to camp. We'll pare the roster down, and we'll be ready to go.
Ed, always good to catch up with you, man. We'll do it again soon. Appreciate your time.
Hey, no problem. And, hey, don't take shots at my Lakers.
Wow. Oh, boy. I don't even think we've talked about the Lakers. They're non-existent right now. There's not much to say about it.
Well, you know, I would say those who live in glass house don't throw stones.
No, hey, I was just about to say, the Lakers are like the Oilers version of the NBA.
How long will it take you to get a Clippers jersey?
You probably have to. It'll come after my death. You have to put it on. Even then, I probably would wake up scared.
I'll wrap you in a nice shroud of a Clippers jersey.
Thanks,
Ed. Diehard Laker fan, by the way.